This episode is brought to you by Progressive. Most of you aren't just listening right now. You're driving, cleaning, and even exercising. But what if you could be saving money by switching to Progressive? Drivers who save by switching save nearly $750 on average. And auto customers qualify for an average of 7 discounts. Multitask right now. Quote today at Progressive.com. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. National average 12-month savings of $744 by new customers surveyed who saved with Progressive between June 2022 and May 2023. Potential savings will vary. Discounts not available in all states and situations.
Looking to improve your diet in the new year? Try seeing a personal dietitian with Nourish. Nourish has hundreds of dietitians who specialize in a variety of health concerns, including weight loss, gut health, and more. Meet with your dietitian online and message them anytime through the Nourish app. Nourish accepts hundreds of insurance plans. 94% of patients pay $0 out of pocket. Find your personal dietitian at usenourish.com. That's usenourish.com.
What kind of programs does this school have? How are the test scores? How many kids do a classroom? Homes.com knows these are all things you ask when you're home shopping as a parent. That's why each listing on Homes.com includes extensive reports on local schools, including photos, parent reviews, test scores, student-teacher ratio, school rankings, and more. The information is from multiple trusted sources and curated by Homes.com's dedicated in-house research team. It's all so you can make the right decision for your family. Homes.com. We've done your homework.
Bustin' Loose Baseball, hosted by Grant Paulson and Toby Altizer, gives you in-depth analytics and interviews on everything baseball in the nation's capital. Now, here's your host, Grant Paulson and Toby Altizer.
All right, here's what I want to do now. Bustin' Loose Baseball, he's Toby Altizer. I'm Grant Paulson. I want to go rapid fire. We could do a bunch of these, but we'll go back and forth here. Burning questions for this season. We don't need to answer them necessarily, but these are questions with important answers that are going to help determine the Nats season, and maybe we could give a sentence or two if we want to each after the question. But I think really the content here is just banging through a bunch of the things that matter to this team. So like I'll give you an example. A burning Nats question I have is, what will we be saying about Dylan Cruz in 1 year? Like, how sure are we that Dylan Cruz is going to be a several-time All-Star and a face of the franchise, First Division, World Series, Champion, Nationals kind of player? I'm not throwing shade. I just think it's a fair question. I mean, the minor league numbers were never amazing. You know, he struggled a little bit this past season. I think, you know, watching him every day last year, Toby, he's the kind of guy that you like more and more with every day that you see him because he always does something awesome. He's going to do everything well. But there is no plus-plus tool. There's not like James Woods' power or even speed for that matter. He just turned 23 years old as we speak. So I'll start with that. Like, what kind of year does Dylan Cruz have? What are we saying in a year? How sure are we that this is not just a decent little player, but a real star building block franchise-altering piece?
Yeah, I think that's a really good one. For me, this kind of goes into opening day and a signing they just made with Paul DeJong, but what's going to happen at third base? What is the plan there at third base? And does someone that's in the minor leagues that is the future of third base, whether it's Brady House, maybe Yo-Yo, do one of those guys emerge early on in the season and eventually take that role later on in the season? But is Jose Tena going to play well enough defensively over there as well as hitting like he did at the end of the year to take that third base spot? Is Paul DeJong going to be the guy? I think Brady House or Yo-Yo is the guy long-term, but what's going to be the answer at third base for this season? And then we'll see going forward. But I think for this year, third base is going to be a big question.
Really, really good one. Luis Garcia, last year had a career year, yeah? A, does he replicate that? And B, is there anything left in the tank there? I mean, people sleep. He hit 280 last year with a 760 OPS, was up about 50 points from his career OPS. So number one, coming off of a year where he had 18 homers, twice of what he ever had before, drove in 70, never driven in more than 50. Does he replicate that? Like, was that his career high watermark, or is that the beginning of who he's going to be? And is there anything else in the tank? Could he go 20-85? You know, could he hit 290, 285 again with an 800 OPS? He's only 24 years old. Let me think. He turns 25 this season. So just what is Luis Garcia going to be in the months ahead?
Does C.J. Abrams find some consistency? Because to me, what he's shown you is he can be a really good ball player. I think if he gets that consistency, he can be a star ball player. If he can get that consistency over the long term and eliminate some of those valleys and live in the peaks, you could see a superstar player. So to me, can C.J. get to some sort of consistency from month to month, from week to week? And if you do, then you're looking at a guy that, you know, might be the big difference in whether this team goes to a playoff run or kind of sits back in that same 70-win mark.
Does James Wood pay the price for not having more star power around him? You know, the big addition to help him was to go get Nathaniel Lowe, a first baseman who doesn't hit for a lot of power. And Josh Bell's going to DH and probably hit cleanup or fifth occasionally behind James Wood as well. But does he end up being hurt by that at all? Because I think there's a chance he could make a gargantuan leap. But part of the reason that I worry, maybe it doesn't happen right away this year, that he goes and hits 30 bombs and hits 275 or 280 or whatever, is I think he's the guy in this lineup that teams are going to say, we don't want him to beat us. And when you're 22 years old and that's the case, that's a pretty hard road to drive.
Does Mackenzie Gore show that he can be the ace of the future? Every year he started, his ERA has gone down, 450 in 2022, 442 in 2023, last year a 390. If he takes a similar type jump, we're talking low threes ERA. That's ace type stuff. He's shown it. Now it's about building off of that and being more consistent and not having some of those bad stretches. If he does that, I'm curious to see what he's able to do. So does Mackenzie Gore get to that level that we expect him to?
Is K-Bert Ruiz going to look like the long-term answer at catcher? There were major stretches last year where that question was getting opened up again, I would say, as he had an OPS for much of the year, sub 600. But, you know, if he goes out and hits 15 home runs and hits 245 or whatever, then I think, you know, you probably get enough offense that the rest of it works itself out. But he's never going to be a plus defensive player, a plus receiver. So he needs to hit for some power, and he needs to give you more ops than he did last year in the low 600s.
If you look at the team right now, who's the closer? I have no idea. They can say that they're confident in one of either Jorge Lopez, Jose A. Ferrer, or Derek Law. I'm glad they can say that because I can't. So who's closing games for this team?
Who do you actually think? I know that we're navigating away from the bit for a second, but who do you actually think the ideal, like in their mind right now, they've got a plan, clearly. Opening day is today, who pitches the ninth inning? I think it would be Jorge Lopez, right?
Yeah, I think it's kind of depending upon who they're facing. It's righties, then they're going to go Jorge Lopez. I think if they were going lefties, I think early on in the season, they'd give Ferrer a try.
Really?
But I think they would give Ferrer a try just to see, because if that's the case, then yeah, then you've suddenly got Law back in his seventh inning role. You've got Lopez working out as a setup role. If Ferrer can do it, I think that's who they want to do it. But I think they're going to be picky early on and they'll go situational. But, you know, chances are if you're facing two righties, it's Lopez. If you're facing two lefties, you go with Ferrer.
I think they're still going to sign at least one reliever and probably multiple players in spring training, by the way. I don't think the bullpen is done being built. And I don't mean like for the season. That goes without saying. It's a constant project, year-round kind of deal. But I think even pre-opening day, this thing is not done being built. You mentioned Lopez, Law, Ferrer. They're going to be there. I'd imagine Eduardo Salazar is going to be in the bullpen. I think one of these guys that we've heard and been told is going to start, ends up in the bullpen one way or the other. My guess is Soroka and Williams make the rotation, and that it may be like Hurz and Parker are in the pen, as much as I hate that because they put Shinosuke Ogasawara in the rotation. But like, I would have Ogasawara in the bullpen, not having really seen his stuff and how it plays yet. I guess I could change my mind when I see it. I have very low expectations for him, if we're being honest. I don't know enough about him to go hard in the paint there, but like, I don't know. There wasn't much of a market for him. I feel like that's pretty telling The Nats kind of got him on the cheap. Like, generally, when you're shopping in the $5 DVD bin, you're not getting the Academy Award winners that just were in the theater. So we'll see. Maybe I'm wrong. But I think they're still going to add a reliever. And I would not be surprised if they added another bat. Like, they kind of already beat me to the punch to an extent with the addition they made in the infield with DeJong the other day. That was kind of along the lines of, not necessarily him, but like what I'm talking about. But maybe one more of those. Like, it's not like they're out of money. I mean, I guess they could be, but they haven't spent any. So, you know, there's no reason if they just, I'm just making this up. Like, they won't be signing this guy because he doesn't really fit now with what they've done. But like, if they didn't have Trevor Williams, they could sign like Kyle Gibson right now. And that would make sense to me, who's still a free agent out there to come in and eat innings. Now, they've already got that guy in Williams that they paid, but that's my point. I think there's still a move or two coming. Remember, I think they made three moves to some key pieces, including like Winker at this point and later in February last year.
Yeah, I mean, we were down in West Palm when they signed Eddie Rosario, and that didn't work out, but it was still something that they did late in the process. So wouldn't be surprised if they did something like that again. I don't know that. I think the difference for this year versus last year is there really is only one spot open to me right now, and that's third base. And so maybe DeJong is that guy. Like, you're not taking Wood, Cruz, or Young out for someone. You're not taking Abrams or Garcia or Lowe out, and you're not taking Ruiz out. So really it leaves kind of third base or pitching if you're going to add at this point in the process versus last year. There were some spots that could still be had until James Wood and Dylan Cruz came to the bigs.
When you think about businesses that are selling through the roof like Aloe, Allbirds, or Skims, sure, you think about a great product, a cool brand, and brilliant marketing. But an often overlooked secret is actually the businesses behind the business, making selling and for shoppers buying simple. For millions of businesses, that business is Shopify. Nobody does selling better than Shopify, home of the number one checkout on the planet and the not so secret secret with Shop Pay that boosts conversions up to 50%, meaning way less carts going abandoned and way more sales going. So if you're into growing your business, your commerce platform better be ready to sell whenever your customers are scrolling or strolling on the web, in your store, in their feed, and everywhere in between. Upgrade your business and get the same checkout experience as business powerhouses like Aloe, Allbirds, and Skims. Sign up for your $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/odysseypodcast, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/odysseypodcast to upgrade your selling today. shopify.com/odysseypodcast.
Flurries of fun await this winter in Indiana. Feel the rush of the Midwest's only refrigerated toboggan run. Ski down snow-covered slopes and marvel at frozen waterfalls on a winter hike. When it's time to unwind, from outdoor fun to indoor escapes, your perfect winter getaway starts in Indiana. Plan your trip today at inindiana.com/winter.
True crime fans will love Crime House True Crime Stories, a Crime House original podcast. Every Monday, you'll experience the most notorious true crime cases from that week in history, all linked by a common theme, from serial killers to disappearances to unsolved murders and so much more. Follow and listen to Crime House True Crime Stories, an Odyssey podcast in partnership with Crime House Studios, available now on the free Odyssey app and wherever you get your podcasts.
All right, before we go, there's some news on Travis Sekora that we've got to pass along because this was a real bummer this week to go down to the minor leagues. Our favorite pitching prospect in the Nats system, and I think one of the most underrated best prospects in all of baseball, Sekora, who pitched to the 2.3 ERA in 20 starts last year, struck out 130 batters in 85 innings, a .9 whip for the big fella, 6'6", 230, just 20 years old. They say he has a hip injury, and he will not be pitching in games until, I believe they said, was May, correct?
I believe it's
so,
May, yeah.
I don't know what to take out of that. I mean, they were pretty vague. There's not a lot of information, really. I don't like hearing the word hip with a big-bodied guy generally. Certainly not a pitcher, but hopefully it's a minor thing and not a big deal. But real dagger, just because he's as exciting a player as there is in the organization right now.
So, according to MLB Pipeline, it was minor labrum surgery on his hip in the winter. He's expected to return in May. I don't love that for a dude, for a pitcher. Now, I'd rather that than an arm injury, probably. I'm not, you know, some medical doctor, so I don't fully know. But
do we know, by the way, like, he pitched them all the way through the championship. I remember talking to him right after the end of the season. There was no mention of having surgery. I mean, he laid out his offseason for me and his plan. To me, this popped up. Like, did he get hurt, or did they find something later? Like, do we have any info on this?
I have no idea. I mean, and that's what was so surprising to see, you know, when Rizzo was addressing the media for the first time down at West Palm, we find out that Sakura is going to be on the shelf for a little bit. It's disappointing. I think some people were having a little bit of a pipe dream that maybe he could pitch in the bigs this year at the end of the season. I don't think that was ever really going to happen. This kind of for sure puts the nail in the coffin that that's not going to happen. But the nice part is it is something that happened in the winter time. I don't know when the injury occurred, but the surgery happened in the winter. He should be on the mound in May. I don't want this to be a Cavalli situation, though, Grant, where we've been waiting for Cavalli to be back on the mound for, it seems like, a year and a half, and he'll be on the mound, he'll throw a bullpen, and then he'll disappear for 6 months. I hope it's not that, but if everything goes according to plan here, hopefully it's just something minor, and he's back in May, and then you get going forward from there.
Yeah, the Cade Cavalli saga just seems to never end now, but look, what they didn't give all the details, it feels like. I mean, I remember being told by somebody who had talked to him last year that he was having major issues. It was just more like discomfort and some pain. It just wasn't right when he was throwing it. You know, they had shut him down. And I think the idea was that it was scar tissue. They were hoping or something like that, that he could kind of work through. But it wasn't feeling right. And rather than pushing it, he didn't kind of like the way it was going or feeling. They'd shut him down. But then they had said he wasn't feeling well or, you know, whatever all this was. So it was kind of one thing after another with what they were announcing. And I'm not saying any of that was untrue, but there was obviously a lot more to it, as he's now basically missed two entire – not basically, he has missed two entire seasons. And now we're hearing that they're going to kind of slow roll him at the beginning of the year, which makes sense so that you – can build him back up, but it also, I mean, how much more slow can this thing get at this point?
Yeah.
Into year three of this recovery.
And that's the tough part, is hopefully Sakura is the difference here, because you've seen guys like Cade Cavalli, who is supposed to be one of your future rotation guys and potentially a frontline guy. Now this dude's kind of an afterthought, and whatever you get from him at this point is gravy. Cole Henry was looking awesome, and then he's had, you know, the thoracic outlet syndrome. He's had surgery. It sounds like he's going to transition to fully pitch out of the pen now to try and stay a little bit healthier. Hopefully he can get back, but it's disappointing when you saw that he had some potential to maybe be someone you could count on in the future, and then the injury kind of derailed that. So hopefully this isn't the same thing for Sakura, because, you know, I think in terms of elite talent in this system, you know, aside from what they're going to add with the first overall pick this year, I think him, Brady House kind of fits in there, but I don't know that he ends up ever being a top 10 prospect. Depending upon what Susana builds off of what he did last year, maybe he could. But Sakura looks like a dude that could be the best pitcher in all of minor league baseball and be a really, really high-rated prospect when he gets called up for the Nationals. So it's just disappointing that this happened to him this offseason after a really, really good year last year, but just hoping it doesn't go down the same road as some of the other Nationals pitchers.